step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance 365. I'm Nicole Shiro with co-host Nick Mayo and guest engineer Tracy Schultz. You're listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 and KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It's Wednesday, June 15th, 2016, and on today's shows, we have a lot of shenanigans. We have on Zach Theater with One Man, Two Governors, and we also have Austin Shakespeare's Young Shakespeare here with Twelfth Night, a steampunk style. But of course, we will have lively discussions, including the news and views from the world of theater in Austin and New York and Timbuktu. So stay with us.
Now my eyes are open. Look what God has done.
So I play a little Color Purple.
You mean the Tony Award-winning Color Purple? The 2016 best revival of a musical?
And that was the 2016. I went and upgraded my album so I could play the new stuff. So I played that for two reasons. Well, quickly, let's get into why I play that. But let's check in. Let's just say first thank you to International Folk Bazaar. And Shane Ford was subbing today for Ken. And thank you for another wonderful time with some great music. And Tracy Schultz, thank you for coming in here and doing some engineering with me today.
Oh, my pleasure, as always.
Nick Mayo, thanks for coming back in to Coco Co-host. You know why you're the Coco Co-host, right?
No, not really. I've really wanted to know.
Because Angie Colella took the title of Coco Host.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. And she's here today, so you guys may have to duke that one out.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. Shenanigans. I'm also going to introduce all my guests here. We have a lively bunch today. Hello, Martin Burke.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Amy Downing.
Hello.
Hello, Amber Quick.
Hello.
Hello, Rachel Wolf.
Hello.
I feel like I'm in Romper Room with the Busy Bee, remember? Hello.
Nobody remembers that anymore.
I do,
Nicole,
but
it's so beautiful.
I miss it. Hello, Cooper Ward.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. Hello, Ann Chickalala.
Shenanigans.
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 So with today's show, Shenanigans and Hilarity. The weather outside is hot. I forgot to do the weather last week. I don't have anything else to say. I did forget the weather last week. End scene. Drop the mic. Thank you. We're done with this radio show for the day. Thanks for joining us. So I played that song for two reasons. I played it because I'm going to play mostly Tony winners or Tony performers from the show this episode, except for after each of your performances, I have special songs for the guests today. But I chose that specifically, and I chose that portion of the song because I just thought the lyrics were so perfect. I just wanted to touch a little bit on some tragedies that happened over the weekend before we roll into the Tonys. We had some awful atrocities happen in Orlando. And I just thought that song, the way that the Tonys and the way that theater community has come back and bounced back and the way they responded was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I thought that those lyrics and that song and that show was just kind of the best way I could do something for Orlando right now on air with all you guys. So shout out, my heart's, everybody's shaking their heads. Yeah, so let me just say, all of our hearts here in the station and in Austin are with everybody, not just in Orlando, but in the United States and in the world as people, because we're all people. We all put our pants on the same way. We all brush our teeth. We all hail a cab. So different strokes for different folks. That's what makes the world go round. Yeah. And that's been my motto since I was a kid. And I don't know. Sadness, but Tony.
And congratulations to the Broadway theater community for coming together and paying great tribute, but also doing what we do, which is to elevate. And so we
celebrate
and elevate. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I thought that they did a fantastic job. It was so interesting in the hours before leading up. There was so much talk. What are they going to do? How are they going to do it? Mm-hmm. How are you? What? James Gordon, you have this huge responsibility.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that weight.
But I found it so interesting that just the opening of the Tonys itself was a celebration of future young artists. And I think that it was done with
well, as the listeners grace. Know, I love children's on stage. It gets me excited because I'm like, that's the future. Because we don't have the stuff for us adults to do if you, and I'm pointing to you teens, if people like you aren't out there and even like the little Peanuts and School Rock and all those other great stuff. I love it. You know, as Whitney likes to say, I believe the children are our future. I can't say anything else to that one. So the Tonys, what did you think of the Tonys? I mean, it was odd. It was an odd day. So like it went in on a weird, odd note. I didn't hate the Tonys, but I didn't leave going, Shazam.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What'd you think of the Tonys, Nick?
I agree.
See?
No, it's...
Because I didn't hate anything.
It's so hard to say, though. When you're going into it with the day, the emotional day that we as a country had, you're not setting any sort of the Tonys as a performance up for any success because you're greeting it with where you are emotionally. I thought it was a great celebration of one of the best seasons on Broadway in a long time. And I thought that the work stood for itself. The production of the Tonys aside, because there's so much that goes into it.
So let's, okay, I told you I was going to put you on the spot here for Lord. A second. Nick has not only been to, I can't count how many Tonys. Nick has performed in the Tonys. So Nick, what's that like?
There's a whole lot that goes into making those award ceremonies. There's so much rehearsal. The casts are so excited to be there. You're there a week before, you're there a couple of days before, you're there the morning of, then you go do your matinee, then you come back, you change on a bus, you're exhausted, you know? But there's an energy of celebration and excitement. And what I sensed from the outside was the people who were performing and on that stage in this particular season were so honored to be a part of this season. Mm-hmm. And it's not just being a part of the season of Hamilton. It's being a part of the season of so many fantastic new works, so many amazing new plays.
The season of an award show where we celebrate diversity unlike other award shows, 100%. And I'll leave it in that.
Like looking at Best Actress in a Musical, Best Supporting Actress, Best Actor in a Musical, and Best Supporting Actress in a Musical. Look at that photo, United States. That's an amazing representation of what the Broadway community and diversity does. You have two men and two women of color up there, you know, representing the best of actresses
and rightly so. I mean,
it was an exciting night, and the material was the star. And I'm not popular when I say this. I thought that the material was able to shine instead of the host shining, which in past years with other hosts, they like to use it as their platform. James Corden had a confidence about him where
he was having a good time, and I don't think he cared. I think he was like, I'm hosting the Tonys, people, and I'm just going to host the Tonys.
Where other hosts were kind of using it as auditions for their next Broadway show, I thought that James Corden just let the material shine, which... for me, was enjoyable.
Well, I learned something new that I never knew before.
Huh.
Barbara Streisand has X-ray vision. What? Your Amber's laughing. Did you learn that too?
Uh-huh.
She never.
I knew that already.
She never opened the envelope.
Yeah, that was odd.
And I mean, let's face it. We all knew Hamilton was winning. That wasn't like... We weren't arguing. But as someone in another show, I would find that a little disrespectful that she couldn't even, like...
What? And they just can't take it back
now? And you know
now?
What? Now there's the whole conspiracy, Nick.
So we write a play about the open envelope, and it's really... Bright Star?
I don't think so.
And they
poor
didn't
things.
Have to close?
They announced their closing yesterday. Already? I was like, already.
Tis the season.
They, here, I'll give you the date. I pulled it up. I was like,
I loved that song that they performed.
I thought it was cool, but I was
gorgeous.
Like, I don't know your story. Oh my. Then you picked something where
you have to talk
knew
right
more
in...
about your story.
Amy, that's what I kept going, what is your story?
Like, what is it?
That's what I kept saying.
Will I know? I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever see or read about it now, but it's something.
I turn to my brother and I go, I don't know, Carmen, what is your story? What is your, as you ever seen, you know that, he's a history guy, his name's Brad Meltzer, and he always goes, I want to know. And I looked at my brother, I go, I want to know. I'm Brad Meltzering her because what?
But come on now, that voice is no. It was
gorgeous.
But I agree. What is it, girl? What's your story? What's your story, girl?
Well, it's closing.
I thought I was the only one in the world.
No. June 26th. I was just shocked. I was shocked because I mean, you have a really great cast in there, and they didn't utilize the cast. I thought some of the performance song choices were odd. I was shocked at the choices they chose for Color Purple. I mean, I loved them, but I was kind of like, oh.
I thought it was a great medley.
I didn't think that one. Oh. Yeah. They were surprising to me.
Yeah. They did a good job of saying like, hey, here's your leading actress. Hey, mm-hmm. we've got Heather Headley in it. And look mm-hmm. at this amazing ensemble sound. Mm-hmm. From a press perspective, they put together a package that represented
totally.
Their show, which I
From
really
From a
liked.
Press perspective, I was bummed with them, though. They should have put they've been having Savion Glover since he's coming into the cast to shuffle along.
Yeah, missed opportunity.
They've been having him do press opportunities and showing how they're working him in. They missed that one. But then let's just talk about Audra McDonald, how many months pregnant, kicking her leg behind her head, tap dancing and singing. What can't she do?
Age 45, y'all.
I mean, she's in that category with Hugh Jackman and J.J. Watt. What can't they do? I was just like, really?
When
come
I was
on.
Pregnant, I quit yoga. Because that was just hard.
Well,
but yeah, it was a little intimidating.
Yeah, it was a little like, really? I was like, really? But I mean, that's why she's Audra McDonald. I mean, she's awesome.
I kind of like that outdoor stuff. How'd y'all like that?
Well, the first one was pretty treacherous. Who let Edie Brickell on mic these days? That was
a little hard.
I really liked the outside
but
thing.
But the other, all the other ones, I really liked it.
And having the whole group together singing mm-hmm. old stuff, I thought that
I think
of,
it was good.
Was different.
There were
it,
fans you know. Outside that got to be a part of the whole experience.
Once again, like it was less of the host's opportunity for auditioning yep. and more letting the material of the season stand for itself. James Corden didn't need that time. Mm-hmm. He let that, instead of giving another wonka, wonka, wonka joke on the way out, he just let the season speak for itself, which I really appreciated.
But thinking about how much work was put into it that you just
more
talked
rehearsals.
About, Nick, I thought, oh my God, those people. But yeah. they seemed so thrilled to just be singing something else together. You know?
Yeah.
And the other, and I'm going to bring this up because we were talking about, before we went on air last week, you and I were talking about Danny Bernstein and being just the nicest guy. How hilarious was that Law and Order bit?
Hysterical.
And here's Danny as Law and Order. Like, what was it, 7 times?
They love him.
Maybe more, yeah.
Yeah, I just laughed so hard. And poor Josh Groban, the Grobes. The Grobes got, like, they put his high school, like, he had no clue that was coming.
I thought that was okay, though. I thought you should not be ashamed of that.
No,
I
wouldn't have
done it. It was really kind of impressive.
I was impressive, too. Well, hello, you know who found, you know who said you should hire this
guy. I'm not impressed with him now. I was more impressed with him in high school.
I'm sorry, Barbara Streisand doesn't have x-ray vision. She's a psychic. Because she knew the Grobes was awesome,
God.
And she knew Hamilton won. So there you go. You have heard it here on offstage and on the air.
Our work here is
I have figured it out. So, all right, I'm going to save some more of the Tonys, though, so we can talk about songs, and I can talk more with Lisa, because there's some other really cool stuff I found interesting in the news. The Lion King added a new character.
What?
What? See? Whoa. You go, what? What? What's happening? So this was done out in Shanghai. It was done to actually make the show more relatable to Chinese audiences. And I'm kind of mad we don't have this character. It is a mischievous monkey.
We've got some of those in this room.
They didn't tell me I was moving. No one called me and told me I was moving to Shanghai. But yeah, so it's the very first time that I like Julie Taymor's quote. It's the very first time we brought in a new character, and it is the year of the monkey after all. I was like, touche, lady.
Wait, there's never been a monkey in the Lion King?
Right? Doesn't that just seem...
There's the, he's a, oh man.
Get her on the mic.
Y'all got to talk up. Pull. The, you can pull this
you
down.
You know, who's the main? He's the medicine man. He's the,
Rafiki.
Rafiki. Rafiki, and he's a baboon.
He's a baboon.
I'm sorry. Oh, he's a baboon. Right.
There's
but
a difference.
He's not a monkey.
So they're cousins,
nor
I guess.
Is he mischievous.
Nor is he mischievous.
I don't know,
he's very
but
very serious. Very.
And a belter.
I thought it was kind of and a belter. He's a belter.
He's a belter.
He has an intense power balance.
He slash she.
He's a she.
And the breakdown is a belter.
He is not mischievous.
So I wonder if the monkey will make it back over here. I don't know, but it June 14th. So the monkey makes his debut. It made his debut yesterday.
Well,
go
you know, it's
monkey.
The clock. It's probably the day before yesterday.
Oh, yeah, international day.
It's all the other part of the
you
world.
You are correct. You are correct. So, you know that Hamilton, they do well. Well, Leslie Odom Jr. and David Diggs both put out albums on their own. And Leslie's album was number 8 yesterday in the morning on all the charts and moved to number 7 by the end of the night. Number 1 on the jazz charts. And I think David Diggs' album is now like in the top 10. I wanted to play some of it because he truly is like the fastest rapping machine. But sadly, I would have had to have bleeped the entire thing. So it's called, there's a great song, Wriggle. If you're interested
so
in finding out more.
So we can call him Fast and Foul Mouth.
Fast and Foul Mouth. But I was really digging it and I was like, well, I can't play that. So speaking of the Hamilton, I read this article and I was like, oh my God. It was like a light bulb went off on my head. Maybe I just, because I'm addicted to Jesus Christ Superstar, I think it's one of the greatest musicals of all time. I cannot get enough of it. You can laugh all you want. I will own it.
I think he threw up in his mouth a little
bit. And own it, okay? Just so you know, Hamilton is, I read this article, 5 ways Hamilton is the Jesus Christ Superstar of its day. And I'm like, So I was like, I'd like to read this. So number 1, it's a musical based on historical events that changed the world.
Basic,
you know, I mean. Two, while it takes place then, the sung through score reflects contemporary music of the day.
See, number 1.
Okay, I could, that's okay. Historical figures are represented on stage by a multicultural cast. Gotta give the superstar hands down. They beat the multicultural cast in Hamilton. Sorry. Although I'm thinking about other stuff in the movie and the tanks, and I'm like, I don't understand. It centers on the rivalry between two frenemies, one which brings about the death of the other. All right. And the antagonist kicks off the show. I'm like, this was, I got the one or two of these, but that was like, I was, someone had a Marcel Marceau moment and was grasping.
Yeah, I've never pitted Jesus and Judas as frenemies in my mind.
No.
That makes it so cute.
It's just
adorable.
It was so
adorable.
Ridiculous and so adorable, but then it made me, you know, I was kind of like, okay, I can see it in different ways.
How it all turned out.
What a ride.
What a ride.
What a ride. It's like the end of Wicked.
Exactly.
When I hear frenemies, I think Glinda and Elphaba. I don't think Jesus.
Jesus and Judas. Story didn't end up too well, you know? But that made me laugh and I was like, oh. But I do love the superstar, and you know what? I guess I could kind of see where people were going, though, with that of its time and the contemporary. Yeah. I just think they grasped to make a really weird article.
But it was fun.
And it was funny. I had to share. So there's this really good article on Playbill. It was 21 pages long, so I did not print it. I will post it on there. Love talking about the people that make Broadway happen. And, you know, we try to discuss swings and all these different types of roles in the theater that people, the general public, doesn't learn about all the time. The most awesomest article of the week. 21 people who make Broadway happen, life behind the curtain. And they went and talked to creatives from technical to physical, like all over the aspect, and did one-on-one exposés on them and did this great article. And we'll have to post that and share it. I just thought, whoa, that's what I love to hear about. So
that's such a cool thing for you to post for people. And on that note, also watching a lot of the performances on the Tonys this year, I was given hats off to all those producers who allowed all of their swings on stage. Hamilton, all the swings were on stage. That was that cast is much larger than when you see it. They put every swing on stage.
That's
so many
awesome.
Different casts did that. School of Rock, I think, did that.
I think School of Rock did.
Used it as an opportunity to be like, let them be celebrated. Yeah. I always hated going and performing and being like, well, my buddy over there is like watching it from a bar. No, add an extra sailor.
And add an, like, all of my roles and everybody else's.
Yeah, that's right. Amazing thing. So I loved that on that note that the producers let that be.
Well, they have this great article, and I will I'll definitely post it. All right, I'm gonna because there's good stuff. So I'm gonna be quick. All right, Italian version for you, Anne.
Thank you.
Did you guys see? We knew that Angels in America is coming back to the stage in London to the National Theater. Nathan Lane is now confirmed for part of the cast. Added
what
to the
part
roster,
of the cast?
Roy.
See, there you
oh,
go.
That's cool.
Nick
Jersey
and Nick,
City Boy. St.
Nick and Nick,
prep,
we got the
saying.
Answers. Susan Brown, James McArdle, Nathan Stewart Jarrett are also joining. Andrew Garfield, Denise Gow, and Russell Tovey. And it doesn't have an additional casting and official dates are going to come later. But I thought that was pretty darn exciting. Few Good Men is going to be an NBC live telecast. And Scott Ellis is going to be directing it.
Hmm.
I know. I found this interesting. We're all making faces. Radio can't see it. But we're all like, curiouser and curiouser, said Ellis to the Caterpillar. It really is a great script. I mean, he just recently did She Loves Me, so mm-hmm. that's where folks may know him. He is a little Candor and Ebb protege, my men, the Ebb and Candor. And he's doing, I don't know, it doesn't say the date it's doing. Oh, early 2017.
Okay.
That's what's going on. So,
but from, fugit, it will come.
It will come.
From Hairspray to A Few Good Men.
Isn't that, I know. It's
a mashup.
Well, on Broadway, I mean, let's see. Here's what he's done recently on Broadway, and this is a mashup. On the 20th Century, The Elephant Man, mm-hmm. You Can't Take It With You, The Mystery of Edwin Drood, and Harvey.
Yeah, amazing.
I mean, that's a little...
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
for him. Good
you
for
You know
him.
Why? Because his teachers were Candor and Ebb. I'm just kidding. No, Scott has talent, but it helps when you get to work with Candor right? and Ebb. I just think they're geniuses. That's my personal belief.
Or genies.
Genies.
You and I should do The Rink sometime.
I've done The Rink. Don't get... Shoot. Oh, my gosh.
Horror movie?
No.
I thought it was The Ring cycle.
Liza
I thought
Minnelli.
They were going to do Wagner.
Okay. It's called The Rink. It was Liza Minnelli okay. and Cheetah Rivera in 1984.
You can play
the
Cheetah part, and I'll play
Here's
the
bummer. My director asked me to do the show, and I played Angel, and I was so excited, yeah. and I thought I was going to roller skate. I knew the music, but I didn't know the show. How angry was I when the one roller skating number is done by the men?
Oh.
Yeah. Scott Ellis was in the original cast of The Rink, as was yeah. Jason Alexander. And poor Liza wasn't doing too well. It was 84. So we, you know, she had some issues during that year. So Cheetah, Stocker Channing played most of her role. Colored Lights, The Rink. Some of the most beautiful music Candor and Ebb have ever written is in The Rink. I have the script, Martin. I will share it with
you. I outed myself as a 12-year-old when I asked for a bootleg of that for my birthday.
They only put it back. It was only on LP, and they only remastered it and like put it back out to the public in the last 10 years. Like years ago, you had to find... In the store, you had to find the record and the player and see if you could get a needle, you know. Now vinyl is hip and cool again, but and they remastered it and they put it back out, but oh, it's some great
out.
Stuff.
I thought you said The Ring.
No, The Rink. So Peter Schaefer passed away, 90 years old. Peter Schaefer. Mm-hmm. Peter Schaefer's work include Five Finger, Lettuce and Lovage, Equius, Amadeus. They are going to dim the lights in memory of Peter tomorrow at 6:45, all the Broadway theaters for 1 minute. 90 years old. Great, great career. Hats off to you, Peter. Thank you. Holland Taylor. Did you see Holland's new cast? Mm-hmm. Okay. I knew that she was doing the show, but I didn't know who the whole cast was, and I've been bubbling with excitement. And holy bananas, Batman. Listen to this headline. Nathan Lane, John Slattery, John Goodman, Jefferson Mays, Sherry Renee Scott, Christopher McDonald, and Holland Taylor for the revival of Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur's The Front Page. Yeah, everybody's faces are like, what?
And what did that two-page, full-page ad in the New York Times Sunday cost?
Oh,
like,
my
what?
Gosh. It was extra, yep. extra. So it opens October 20th. Preview starts September 20th, opening October 20th. Limited engagement through February 5th at the Broadhurst. That's where Hugh played.
Christmas.
That's where Hugh Jackman likes the Broadhurst. So that's what's going on in everything relates to Hugh. He's just awful. He's awesome, I mean. Hamilton. Awfully good. Awfully good. Yes. I love him. Hamilton set a date for the West End. October 2017. No casting, no directing. Nothing else has been announced, but they have found a theater. They have set a date. They will be going over there.
Are they still going to charge $1,000
yeah, exactly.
a ticket?
Well, no,
it'll
you know
be £1,000.
£1,000.
It'd probably be cheaper and easier to get than Harry Potter's play over there right now going for $5,500. Yeah. So, yeah, exactly,
what?
Rachel. Hamilton hit the
it's
highest
scalped,
ticket
but
price.
It's scalped.
Yes. Yeah,
but
that's
real.
The scalp price.
But
Hamilton
number.
Hit face value highest ticket price last week for $850.
Yeah.
That's face value.
Sick.
Yeah, that's just me. Donkey-less.
I have to say that really rubbed me the wrong way.
It rubbed
and
me
I
the
thought,
wrong way.
If you're charging $850 for one for a single ticket and your show is sold out until for like the next
year,
you don't need a Tony.
Oh,
you
but Martin,
you don't need.
They released a block of tickets this week, so oh, you know.
That's sweet.
I know. I know. No, I know. I
well,
have
for
a,
the people, Martin. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
We the people.
We the people.
Like so we're seeing the tour in 2025.
Yeah. We'll all be flying. Like, remember in the Jetsons, we all thought we'd be in flying cars at this point in our life, and we're not. Maybe we'll really all be in that flying cars. I'll be like, see you at Hamilton. Toot toot.
Toot
toot. I've got my way to the studio. We'll go to the theater. I'll see you at Hamilton. Toot toot. Everyone will talk in rhyme. Every dollar bill will be a Hamilton. I figured it all out. We'll all dress in garb, great cravats and jackets.
You haven't been sleeping much, have you, Nicole?
No, I have not. I said to Nick, I texted him today, I'm a hot mess.
Oh.
But a hot mess of goodness. Nick, you got a trivia question for
I
us?
I do have a trivia question
okay, so,
for you.
God, these are don't so say the answer online because we're going to give it right now because we're going to give it later. But
yep, we're not going to give the answer, y'all. Okay, so Patti LuPone won her second Tony for the iconic role of Rose in the 2008 revival of Gypsy, directed by Arthur Lawrence. Which of the following is not true about this production? A. Patti LuPone was the oldest actress to play Rose on Broadway. B. Patti LuPone said that Gypsy Company was the best she'd ever worked with. C. Patti LuPone became the fourth actress to win the Best Actress Tony. Arthur Lawrence, longtime partner Tom Hatcher, convinced Lawrence he should direct the show. Or E, LuPone once interrupted Rose's turn to berate someone for taking photographs. I mean...
Well, you want the one that's not true, right?
Yes. Which one is not true?
So there's a few
true
ones in there.
I'm going to go online, Nicole, because I have a...
You know it?
No, I don't know if I know it, but I would put $20
on. Suspicion.
All right, that's your Patti LuPone trivia for the day.
Well, I'm going to we're gonna go out here with a little bit of "She Loves Me," the new cast recording, and boy, I'm gonna be Zachary Levi nailed it. Sorry,
just saying, Laura Benanti.
Just saying. You know Laura what? Benanti. I'm obsessed with Laura, and I'm obsessed with Jane and Gavin, and I thought Zachary killed it on all of them.
I mean, she's not Barbara Cook, but she's fabulous.
Yeah, but he's shown. So he's getting
he
played
did.
Right
he's great.
Now.
He's great,
and that's what we're gonna listen to for a moment.
She loves me.
Well, hello.
And to my
we
amazement.
Are back. We are. Oh yes, I have to turn on the other mics. Whoa, we're getting it together. So that was exciting. Well, let's welcome our first guest here from the Zach Theater. I have here Martin Burke, Amy Downing, and Amber Quick. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Do you guys? Hey, Rachel and Cooper. You mind if one of them jumps up on your mic here for while we're talking?
Yeah. Amy.
Why don't you guys? And you can move, as Lisa likes to say, we like to show how the sausage is made on offstage and on the air. So you may move the microphones here with this lovely ball.
I'm just doing it because you're doing
personal.
It. Yes, it does. It moves. That's great.
So well, welcome. You guys are here in the raucously, awesomely funny show, One Man, Two Governors, playing currently at the Zach Theater. I think the show's hilarious. I know this show's hilarious. I laughed, so that's hilarious to me.
Well, thank God.
But who wants to give us a little nickel dime tour of this actual show for folks who don't know? Paper, rock, scissors?
One of y'all do it.
It's a retelling of Goldoni's Servant of Two Masters that's been set in 1963 Brighton, but the show itself, so that supplies the storyline, and so your Truffaldino is now, or Truffaldino is now Francis and Shaw, and all of the characters within our world play are different stock characters from the Commedia world, but it's all just one big rolling variety act. So there's you've got the nods at the Commedia style, but then there's also kind of a laugh-in aspect to it,
it's
where
like
you just
laugh-in
never
Benny
know.
Hill,
yeah, kind you of. Just never know what's gonna the unexpected is the only thing that you're guaranteed, because you never know when somebody's gonna pop out of one door or come running out with some interesting instrument or to join in with it. There's a four-person band that's like the skiffle bands from the early, you know, the early Beatles skiffle bands. They play an entire 30 to 40 minute pre-show set. So instead of hanging out in the lobby and getting your drink and your snacks before the show, you get your tickets and you go immediately into the theater, and they're just playing this amazing set list of all of the songs.
Just great songs from the era.
Just the great songs from
my era.
The
tone.
I have to tell you, there's been some awesome people dancing, because you have the bar
there's
and everything
bar.
Is
right,
moved into right. the theater, basically. So all the people are on stage getting something to drink, but at the same time, I see them kind of mosey and groove a little bit over, going stage right, and they're jamming with the band, and then they go back to their seat, and it's pretty fun, but that is not the only audience participation.
Hardly
is true. There.
We're not going to give away any secrets, but there's a lot of audience participation.
You like to talk to the people in the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of in that we were given permission by the Commedia dell'arte layer of the show that we get to do all of these great asides and sort of the whole. I feel like the whole point when you're doing Commedia is to draw your audience in. You want them to be as much of a part of the show as you are. And so there are all of these moments where we get to turn around and just direct address somebody like, oh, you know what I'm talking about. Or we ask questions of them or ask favors of them.
Or do things to them.
In a nice way. Don't scare people, Anne. In a nice way. And scaring them. Amy, do me a favor real quick. Could you pick me a number between the number 2 and 25?
8.
8. Okay. Hold on.
I love this game.
Let's see what you chose.
Hi, I'm Robert Biederman, playing Captain George Brackett in the cast of South Pacific on Tour, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM.
We haven't heard him for a while. Hello, we heard Robert with a little South Pacific.
That's exciting.
Thank you. Yeah. He just popped in for a moment. He's gone now.
bye, Robert.
Bye, Robert.
Bye.
So would you guys, I know you have like a little kind of fun excerpty scene. Do you mind giving us a little bit of that?
We can do that. Can you hear us both if we talk like this?
Mm-hmm. If you're both up close together.
Okay. Like this?
Yeah.
Where are we starting?
Oh, yeah. I've got a letter here for your governor. Oh, no.
We do know our play.
We do.
We've been away from the show for 2 days.
We haven't had 2 days off. I know, but I wish
two whole days off.
But I put you on, and I should have said, why don't you set up the scene? And then you would have known what you were both doing. So that was really my bad.
Okay.
Are we going to set up the scene?
Yeah, why don't you set up?
So this is the second scene, act two, scene two, and I play Francis Henschel, and I explain that I'm the Harlequin in Commedia dell'arte, and that I have these base motivations that drive my actions in the play. And then, so the whole first act, my base motivation is hunger and wanting to eat. And so then I come on in this scene and I say, now I've eaten, now the audience, you all have to work out what the new base motivation is. And that's when Dolly comes in, and she's my love interest. So she comes in a very tight, leopardy, short dress.
Beautifully designed by Susan Branch.
Beautifully designed.
Okay. Pauline's written one letter for Alan today and one letter for Roscoe.
Are we going then? Majorca.
Oh, Nicole. It's him. I like him. I've got a letter here for your governor. Can I trust you with it?
Confidential's my middle name.
What are your other names?
Francis Henshaw.
So your full name is Francis Confidential Henshaw.
At your service, gorgeous.
Nicole, calling a woman gorgeous is chauvinist and patronizing, obviously. But since I fancy him rotten and I haven't had a proper workout for a while, I'll forgive him. You've got honest eyes.
Thank you, baby.
No trouble, big boy.
A friend of mine likes you.
What's his name?
Paddy.
What's he look like?
Could be a film star.
Godzilla.
No, he's a good-looking lad. He's big-boned.
And how did he get big-boned?
The usual. Nature. Nurture.
Partly genetic, partly pies.
He likes his food, yeah.
Well, which does he prefer? Eating or making love?
What? Nicole, that's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a tricky one. Yay!
What a treat. Oh, I'm so glad you did that. Thank you.
And I have to say, there's a lot of physical comedy in this show.
Toby Minor.
Everyone's part. Yeah. Toby Minor. And he's in the show, too.
He's in the show.
He's in it, and he's a fight choreographer. So any Lotsy we have, anything that looks perfectly timed and beautifully choreographed, it's Toby.
Yeah.
So anytime we're funny, it's Toby. No, I'm kidding.
Amy,
that was actually Toby speaking just
Amy,
now.
Tell us a little bit about the character you play.
So I play Roscoe, but he's really Rachel. So I'm dressed as a man, but I'm actually his sister. So...
Sounds like both of our guests today. We have a little of that going on today.
Not that Shakespeare ever used anything from Commedia.
Shout out to the ladies dressed as the men.
Yes.
So the whole, you know, kind of driving force is the idea that Rachel's boyfriend killed her brother and they need money to run away. So she's dressed as her brother.
And they're twins. So that's why she can pull it
Not identical twins, but the twins.
And Amy's terrific, may I say.
Aw, yeah, thanks.
The show is really, really a lot of fun. I hadn't laughed that hard in a long time. Nick's husband and my friend Amy, the four of us were sitting with each other and we were just hitting each other laughing and whispering to each other. So we really, really had a good time. And I know Anne came a few nights later and was giggling away. So I hadn't had fun. You know, you go to the theater and you laugh and you go to the theater and you cry and you go and you're like, what a great show. I haven't gone to the theater in a long time and really just laughed my tookus off.
Oh, good.
And that's what I did that night. And I was like,
I feel like we've had such a beautiful experience with this to go back to the top of the show and to say that we do this because it elevates and celebrates. And I was listening to an interview yesterday with George C. Wolfe, where he was talking about the best thing that he can do is create a space for collaboration and create a space where we can explore and trust and find all of these beautiful things. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we want to take for granted when we're doing a comedy that it can have a cathartic or elevating effect on people.
Laughter's a great medicine.
Right. And I feel like Abe just did such a beautiful job of really creating a space where we could all come into it together, not just like, and then when is my scene? When do I get to come out next?
Right. But this sets everything. Zach, on the Facebook page at Zach, there's some really, really awesome photos of all of you as a cast and of the craze, the skiffle band beforehand, that you really get to see how bright and colorful and those wonderful costumes we were just talking about.
It's great, those multiple characters that Michael Miller plays.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's such great cameo stuff in there.
And also, you mentioned Abe, but this is a really challenging piece for a director. And
absolutely.
That what a great testament to say that he created a space that you felt comfortable trying things, because I would imagine that in this process specific in any comedy, but specifically this pace of comedy. And Martin, you try, I'm sure you have to try a whole bunch until you land on something that you're semi-satisfied with to then build from. I mean,
It was a huge...
Talk about that a little bit.
It was a huge challenge. I didn't realize how big the role was and how much it would require of me. All of the physical humor, the fight that I have with myself, and just all of that stuff is not really something that's naturally in my wheelhouse. So, I mean, I can move around like a goofy person, but to have all this sort of choreographed sort of slapping myself and throwing myself around and all that kind of stuff. So it was a fantastic rehearsal process where I would often ask Amy or Amber. I know your name.
That's an inside joke.
Yeah.
I'm Nancy. Just so you know,
you are Nancy.
I am
that's
Nancy.
Right.
I'm not kidding. He calls me Nancy. So
I do not call her you Nancy.
I'm just Nancy in your phone.
Shut up.
I was Amanda in his phone until he made the mistake of showing me his phone.
We're not talking about that right now.
No, we are.
We're talking about the process.
That's so funny.
No, it was a wonderful rehearsal
Martin
process.
And remembering your name.
And well, I don't have any problem saying, what should I do here? Like asking other actors and saying, I've got no clue what to do with this.
It was great because we could all do that. We'd all get off stage and be like, does this work? Do we work? Because there'd also be, you know, then we would get people in the room and we're like, oh, thank God there's people. And then there was not a huge amount of changes during tech, but a healthy amount of like, okay, this plays, this doesn't, this needs to be faster.
Right, you know? And that's one of the most difficult things of this piece is keeping the pace up. Mm-hmm. Because it is 2.5 hours with intermission, but I don't think you realize that it's that long when you're experiencing it. But if our pace is slow, that especially in that first scene, there's so much exposition in the first scene to set up everything else, that the pace has just got to be clipping along. And I think that makes it even more fun and seems more dangerous and more, you know, it just is a very exciting, exciting show.
Well, it's such a great ensemble piece, and it's so great to watch you guys working together. And Martin, you really are at the center of that ensemble, kind of guiding us through. And we feel as an audience that we're in such great hands. So,
yes, totally.
Really.
Yes, thank you.
Well, we are sadly out of time.
That's okay.
So, Nicole, if people wanted to go see this show.
Wow, I'm about to give you some more information right here. And then we're going to go out with one of the numbers that The Craze plays in What Man, Two Excellent.
Oh, and the band is fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic. To be able to see this fun piece of theater and also feel like you're in a bit of a concert.
Totally.
So if I'm making the decision, do I want to go see live music or do I want to go to the theater, why not have both?
You get both because it is. It's a play with music.
Because the band also plays. Between each one of the scene changes, and characters from the show come out and play instruments with them, which is also fun to watch. Yeah. So,
thank you so much, guys. I'm so happy you came in today to talk about this. That's Zach Theater with One Man, Two Governors, currently playing through June 26th at Zach's Topfer Theater. For more information, you may visit zachtheater.org.
She got cursor miles on end, and they drive you
around.
We
are back. Hello. Oh, that's fun. Now we got more fun coming up. But before we put the Young Shakespeareans on, we are going to really go quickly. Local, Nick, what's your local highlight for the week?
My local highlight for the week is something that I haven't done, but I'm really excited to do. I'm going to go check out Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. En Route Productions is doing Cat on a Hot Tin Roof live at Live Oak Brewery. Who doesn't like Tennessee Williams and a beer?
It's funny when you brought that in. I was like, oh my God, I saw the same thing. And the poster drew me in too.
Yeah.
The artwork. I have to tell you, it was cool.
Sounds like a really fun evening. Go sit and have some beer and listen to some Tennessee Williams. Watch some Tennessee Williams. Watch a great play. So that's my highlight. June 10th through June 26th.
Do you know where to get more information?
For more information,
I think it's En Route, right?
En Route, yes.
And it's ENROUTE, right?
Yes. En Route, just en français.
Know how to look at it.
Absolutely.
And I chose, because I love the children's, our friends over at Pollyanna Theater Company. Judy started, she's doing now the theater for the young, and there are not a lot of theaters in the United States that are doing it. And these are for ages 2 to 4. And I just think this is so cool. Right now is Cowboy in the Kitchen. We need to get Judy back on to talk about this. Isn't that adorable? You should see the photos. I'm like, adorbs. This big cowboy and a big chef in the big hat. So that's running at the Long Center for the Performing Arts through this weekend, June 18th. For more information, you may visit pollyannatheater.org. So today in theater history. Dun, 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 theater dun. History. First of all, I just had to say, how adorable does Reeve Carney look in his Spidey tights? Because he looks cute.
Very.
So I and then I laughed and went, well, what event is Spider-Man in today in theater history for when I saw this, which is sad, but I know it's true though. 1956, new faces of 1956 with the talents of future stars Maggie Smith, Jane Connell, Tiger Haynes, Virginia Martin, Bill McCutcheon, and Inga Swenson.
Inga.
I was like, Inga Swenson.
Sounds like a character.
I don't know, but it's a great name. 79, Flowers for Algernon, the new musical by Charles Strauss and David Rogers, opened in London's Queen's Theater. 79, Al Pacino returns to Broadway as the title role in Richard III. Does not garner strong reviews for its leading man, whose persona is deemed unsuitable for the role.
They made a movie that's fabulous.
Yes, they did, didn't they? 1986, Alan J. Lerner, lyricist and librettist of many musicals, dies today at the age of 69. Sadly, not my favorite. Sorry, buddy. But Brigadoon, Paint Your Wagon, My Fair Lady, Camelot, Gigi.
You like Gigi?
I like Gigi. I don't like the movie version. The Thank Heaven for Little Girls creeps me out. But Lisa and I have touched upon that multiple times, so I'm going to not digress there. 2002, future Tony-winning musical Hairspray started at in Seattle and started its Fifth Avenue Theater run that ran for a really, really long time. So 2011, following the longest preview period in Broadway history, performances actually began November 28, 2010 for Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy?
Does not seem that long
ago. And it really was. I know. Birthdays today. Burl Ives, 1909. Dorothy McGuire, 1916. Sam Wanamaker, 1919. Gene Barry, 1919. Jerry Shea, 1965. And I don't have some really locals today, but I had some yesterday and I have some tomorrow. Yesterday, we had the Alex Alford, managing director of Austin Shakespeare, and one Gwen Kelso, actress around town, and one Dennis Whitehead, who isn't here anymore, but he musical directed me in a lot of shows, and I love that guy. So, Dennis, you're here. Tomorrow, June 17th, Jay Harrison Gee. Jay's a friend of ours. Jay's currently starring as Lola in The Tour of Kinky Boots. One Robert Tilero and one Judy Arnold.
Wow, what a duo.
So, Bob Tilero. I know. Their birthdays are tomorrow, so I had to include them in the pile. So bon anniversaire to everyone. We're going to go out with like 2 seconds of music and quickly jump back to the children's. This is Chicago, because Chicago the Musical is now the longest American musical running. Isn't that nuts?
That's amazing.
I know. Nice. And it's, once again, Candor and Ebb.
Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town?
Okay, I could listen to BB sing forever.
Me too.
And they did. They acknowledged that at the Tonys too, which made me happy because I knew that. Because not only is that musical the longest running American musical, Candor and Ebb are the longest American composing duos in Broadway history.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy? Wow. I know. I love me some Candor and Ebb. If you really want to learn more about them, there's a great biography that I talk about all the time called Colored Lights, which has some really fascinating little stories and tidbits from different folks. It's just quite lovely and a really quick read. So, hello, Austin Shakespeare and Young Shakespeare.
Hello.
Here with the 12th Night Steampunk Style. So I'm going to introduce you guys again. Hello, Rachel Wolf.
Hello.
Cooper Ward.
Hello.
N1 co-host Ann Chicalella.
Yeah.
Hello. So so tell us about this. Tell us about this show. Ann, why don't you tell us a little bit about the program and the show? Because this is not just a show. There's a program, too.
Sure. I had an idea, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, I guess now, to try to get some great kids together who all were interested in really doing Shakespeare the way we do it for our adult company. So they rehearse for 100 hours. They rehearse the same exact schedule as the adult company. And we get professional directors and designers in, and they get to do 2 weekends at the Curtin Theater. So they get 8 real performances. And the kids who come are ready for it. You know, they audition and then they they get to do the show. So that's what Young Shakespeare is. What Nicole has been very involved in it, and
they've started. I have. I've been. I disclaimer. I have been part of the program for this is the eighth year. I personally, I give up my birthdays so that I can do this. I used to travel out of town every year. They make me so excited to see them on stage and to see the work that they do. Again, I'm just a big proponent of arts education personally. So this is just another avenue for me. And y'all rock. I got to see some of the rehearsal last night and y'all were rocking it. So maybe... you know, I don't want to put you on the spot right away, but I am. You guys want to, do you want to do, Rachel, why don't you give us a little teaser, a little taste of
take it away.
The performance aspect of the show, okay. And then we can talk about the show.
Can I set this up just a little bit?
Totally can.
So I've asked Rachel to do various things, but today she's going to do what's called the Willow Cabin speech. And it's just a short speech that Shakespeare wrote. And Olivia, who she's bringing a message to, from the Duke, who's in love with her, thinks that this person is a boy. And she says, well, if you were in love with me, what would you do? What would you say? And of course, she knows exactly what to do and say because she's a girl. Mm-hmm. So this is what she tells her she would do if she were in love with her.
Make me a willow cabin at your gate and call upon my soul within the house. Write royal cantons of condemned love and sing them loud even in the dead of night. Halloo your name to the reverberate hills and make the babbling gossip of the air cry out, Olivia. Oh, you should not rest between the elements of air and earth, but you should pity me.
Wow. Thank you. Wow. I know. Hold on, Nick. I turned your mic off. I need to turn that back on.
Oh, my God, Nick.
Well,
sorry
right.
about that. It was Nick and...
Nick. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank
that was
you.
Really, really beautiful.
Thank you.
What drew you to this program? What got you in the door? Did you have a passion for Shakespeare before you came in? Or?
Yes, I've loved Shakespeare since I was six, and it still continues to be one of my favorite aspects of theater. And I've never looked back. And what drew me to this program was previous experience with Shakespeare Idol, with Austin Shakespeare, where teenagers can present their monologues or scenes from Shakespeare, multiple Shakespeare plays and get feedback. And it's really, really helped me. But I found out about the program and Twelfth Night happens to be my favorite Shakespeare comedy. So I was like, I have to audition for that.
Wonderful.
And since then.
That's wonderful. So you said that this passion has been yours since you were six.
Yeah.
Because our listeners can't see the energy that you bring into the room, how old are you now and how long have you been on this journey?
I am 15, about to be 16.
That's an important thing to say. A 15-year-old doing that level of Shakespeare is really impressive.
Thank you.
Anyone doing that level of Shakespeare is
Cooper,
impressive.
Cooper, are you 15 or 16?
Yes, I'm 15? Also 15.
And how did you get into this? Because you're both new this year, so I normally, I know what to... hound those little alumni, but now no one and Chickalella cannot hear you. Mic 4 and Mic 5 are magic mics. So what do you think? What do you guys both think about this program and what you've been getting out of it?
I think it's a really swell program. I got into it also because of Shakespeare Idol. I had done it a couple years before, so it was on my radar, but I didn't know that Young Shakespeare is a thing. So I was on the internet looking for something cool to audition for this summer, and I found the audition call for Twelfth Night, and I was like, yeah. And so showed up, did my audition, and look at this, got a part. And it's been a really, really good experience, actually, to be able to be exposed to this level of professionalism and cool Shakespeare acting and stuff. And especially now the curtain, the space we've moved into, it's really sort of a magical, awesome space that, like, helps bring forward all of the awesome old school Shakespeare classic wonderfulness that comes from this program.
It is, and y'all are doing it a steampunk style.
Oh, yeah.
And the
yeah.
set is, I mean, it really looks
great.
Like
beautiful.
It. Patrick Anthony did a great job. Oh, yes, but yes. You also are doing it as a play with music. You mm-hmm, have mm-hmm. another teen as part of the company playing music, Matthew Bryson.
Yes.
And he's playing some original composition to some of the stuff that Shakespeare wrote, plus some traditional stuff that we may know in the popular world.
Yeah, actually, our co-director, Milt Zoff really was the music director. Yeah. So he is a guitarist himself, picked all the music, played with Matt, and Matt is just a terrific kid, and you'll get it up there. That was, Nicole and I said he's like the Greek chorus, because he really, we have him looking over the balcony and watching, and he's responding.
I looked up, I'm like, I'm loving on Matthew up there. And so he has a good time. So we're running out of time. This whole hour went so quick. So thank you guys so much for coming on. I'm looking forward to seeing the actual entire show myself.
Me too.
I want to acknowledge Nancy Ironman, who's also our co-director.
Nancy Ironman and Milt Zoth.
Good directors.
That's hard to say really quickly. Have both been really wonderful, and you've had some really great co-directors and stuff to work with.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you both for coming.
Thank you.
Well, thank you guys for just being come to AustinShakespeare.org for more info. Stuff. Thank you very much. That was Austin Shakespeare's Young Shakespeare with Twelfth Night, steampunk style, running June 16th through June 26th. For more information, you may visit AustinShakespeare.org, and that's playing out at the Curtain Theater.
Yay.
That was their closing dance stuff, and I didn't really get to, but we're in Austin. People should know that was Stevie Ray Vaughan. But that was Stevie Ray Vaughan, and we're out of time, Nick.
Well,
thank you so much for being on here. We're going to go backstage, get the answer to trivia question, learn a little bit more about yourselves. Stand by for Austin Monitor News. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And just to close out, you're only going to get a second, but I'm playing the Song of Purple Summer from Spring Awakening.
And all shall fade, the flowers of spring.
So, hi, Lisa. What the f*** is up? She's going to be like Shiro. I miss you. Okay. So we're here backstage amongst the dumpsters at Lisa Shep's The Musical. She is a rock star.
.org.
You know, that was a really hard musical to cast, and a lot of people can't step into those roles, but
big shoes to fill,
but thank you all. I got some people to come join me that saw the show here today, so they came over with me backstage. I'd like to welcome Martin Burke.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Is your microphone on? Talk again. Is that microphone not working? Try again.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Hello. Okay.
You did it.
And Amber Quick.
Hi again.
Hello, Miss Amy Downey.
Hello.
Cooper Ward.
Hello.
Rachel Wolf.
Sup.
And the co-host, Nick.
Hello.
Nick and Nick. We're back in action. My mom, when I dated a guy, Nick, my mom loved it. She used to open up the window and go, Nick and Nick.
You know,
it's so easy to say.
I was roommates in high school and in college with a guy named Nick. So we were always the Nicks.
Yeah.
Wherever we went, they'd be like, are the Nicks coming to this party? Get more vodka.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. So Martin.
Yes.
Where are you from, Martin? Tell us about you.
I grew up in Richardson, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas.
Yes.
And then I came to Austin to go to UT. That's where I got my BFA in acting. I've moved away a couple times. Went to Denver for a short time, to Seattle for like a year and a half. Thought I wanted to move to New York. I was there for 6 weeks and thought, no.
You said you moved there in what, January?
In January,
in the middle of the cold?
Right. You've heard this story already.
Yeah, I was like, really?
Yeah, it's a great time to move there.
Perfect time of year.
He was going to get to, what, sleep on a kitchen table? Is that
no,
right?
The woman that I was going to sublet rent a room from, I said, well, because it's a terrible story, but I was going to rent I went to look at a room to rent there, and this woman had two bedrooms in this apartment. One of them was filled up to the ceiling with trash.
Oh, hoarder stuff.
That was all the way down to the entryway to the room. So I was being a nice Texas boy, and I said, so since you're using that room for storage and I'm going to rent this room, where are you going to sleep? And she said, I'm going to sleep on the kitchen table. And I said, well, that kitchen table doesn't look big enough for you. She said, I'm going to stack pillows up in the chair. I like to sleep next to the refrigerator.
And that was your...
And that was the day that I was like,
I'm not living here. I'm not living in this city. No, thank you.
And you thought Austin kept it weird.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a glass, a clear glass shower in the kitchen. So I would like have to bathe in front of her.
Well, I knew. Wow. I mean, I've been in a lot of apartments in New York where the bathtub and everything are in the kitchen. But clear glass shower. Yeah, that's
that was
a little...
filled with roaches.
Yeah, good times.
When she opened it to show it to me. Oh, and there was a hot plate on a counter, and the wall had been scorched. She said, we don't cook here. We don't eat here.
You could have just shopped around. Amy's not on mic, but she's like, you know, you could have shopped around.
Well, no, I looked at many apartments, and a lot of them were...
That was just the best option.
Yeah.
That was the best.
One that was as wide as me holding my arms out like I'm flying. It was a beautiful apartment. Wooden floors, really nice.
I lived in a room. $1,700. I lived in one room for 5 years with four girls. We had bunk beds. We each had a corner in our dresser. I lived in the West Village. Mm. Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman were my neighbor. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a beautiful place, but I lived in one room
with three other people.
And it was totally like the Susan B. Anthony. It was total like bosom buddies, no men above the first floor, but we would sneak the men in, except for senior men above 70 were allowed to live in the building. I don't know where the pervert gets crossed off at 70 or something like that. It was the strangest place. And a restaurant in the basement. It really was like bosom buddies, Susan B. Anthony.
Wow.
But yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, you learn how to get along with people.
Yes, you do.
In your own little corner.
A studio in Bed-Stuy where the sink was in one corner, the stove was in the other corner, and the bed was in one corner. And then the bathroom was actually outside of the apartment. We had our own bathroom, but it didn't have a lock on it. So we had a little stairwell that led up to the bathrooms here and then the studio there. But I made all of my phone calls sitting in the bathtub. Because it was the only other room.
I spent a lot of time in my bathroom on the floor on the phone, now that you say that. Just... actors in New York.
For those listeners who might not have been to New York but have seen the movie Room, that's pretty much all you need to know.
Yeah,
my next apartment was pretty awesome, though, and it was the first one I looked up in the Village Voice, and people were like, where'd you find an apartment? I'm like, don't ask me. I do not fall into any category of rule of finding an apartment in New York. Like, wrong person to ask. But
yeah.
So, Amber, where are you from? You were telling us you were in New York for a while, but...
Right.
But where are you originally...
Born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama.
Ah.
And then went to school in Birmingham and then sort of moved around contract to contract from West
Virginia,
Virginia.
So do you roll tide in your house or are you Tiger fans?
Yeah, I am.
Neither.
Well, this is a long story that I'll try to condense to like one sentence. I grew up being an Auburn Tigers fan, but really had no idea how the actual construct of football worked. And then I met my partner, Will, and he explained football to me, but it was watching the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Oh, so you went from one extreme to the other.
I kind of did, yeah. So I'm a Razorbacks fan, but they're not that great, but it's fine.
Yeah.
So there's like a tier to it. If Auburn's playing anyone, I want Auburn to win. If anyone's playing Alabama, I want them to win.
Yeah. As long as you have that in your blood, you're good to go.
Right. If Arkansas and Auburn are playing, it's a toss-up.
So how did you get into theater?
I signed up for a computer programming class. Not even computer programming. It was essentially like a glorified typing class. It was typing that we got to do on a computer. And it was full, and then I had another elective listed that was full, and my third option, there was just some part of me that was like, oh, theater, drama, as it was called. and then it happened at a very crucial point in my life where I couldn't get into my first two choices, got stuck in drama, and was mortified. I was afraid that they were going to make me get up on stage the first day and do a speech and, you know, shame me in front of everyone. And my parents asked me to stay in it for a week. And due to some family trauma, I ended up having to move into a different state
and go into a much bigger, much more established program that was just what they offered at this high school. And I just absolutely fell in love with it, fell in love with the people, fell in love with the support system that it automatically gave me, the peers that it offered, the escape that it offered, and it just completely changed my life. I was on track to be a physical therapist. Like, that was the goal. I had no other, you know,
you had blinders on but that. Then
right. And then
it's that magic of arts education.
Yeah. I did a production of The Children's Hour.
Nice.
That's speaking of put children's in the title. Mm-hmm, it's all of that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
And so the rest is history.
So yeah. Cooper, I'm gonna imagine you're from here.
Yes.
Yes.
So what when did you start saying, hey, I want to do theater?
I think it was when I was 6 years old. I think it was third grade it was. I had some friends that were a little bit older than me that were into theater at this place called the Austin Children's Theater Act. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's still around, but so they were like, you should totally come do a reading and audition. I was like, okay, because I was a little boy. And so I went and did that, and I think the first reading that we did was of, I don't remember, but it was interesting to me, but I was like, I'm going to go play with my friends outside or something. So I didn't audition for that one, but the next one, they convinced me to audition, and it was for a production of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, that's
and
a fun one.
I managed to get the part of Edmund, and so that was a really, really good experience for me. And it was a really high-quality children's theater. They had some really good directors who sort of put me on the right path to get into other acting opportunities and stuff. And so ever since then, I just picked up acting classes in school and stuff, and I've been trying to get parts outside of school wherever I can, just get more experience. And so, yeah, so really.
So I'm going to say this is something that you want to pursue later on in life, or do you have a different path you want to take and keep this as a
I want to say on the rail about it, but in my mind, I have two major options, one of them being theater and the theater arts and that sort of thing, and the other one is more like, you know, computer programming, but that's the nerd side of me.
You can do both.
You can do so many jobs as an actor. And you need to.
Listen to Amy Downing. She's on to something there. I think it's great that you're interested in both. And listen, I think all of us as adults that have acted for years can say to you, I've taken so much of my other jobs and professionalism and have used it so much relating to arts, whether I've been on the stage or behind the stage, behind the scenes. Life in general is a great job to teach you more about your craft. I don't know.
Having a lot of different interests and things that you're able to do make you so much more human, and you can pull on so many different things for different roles. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great that you have both of those things. And computer programming, you have got, there's a lot of organization there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, so, and I think that helps with
the
being an actor.
The discipline of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That helps with being an actor. So I think you should do both.
So Amy Downing.
Yes.
Where are you from, Amy?
I'm from Richardson.
Did y'all know each other when you were there?
Uh-oh. No.
Oh, that's so funny.
I discovered that they were frenemies.
They were frenemies.
Total frenemies.
I'm also 12
who
years
older. Who was Judas?
Older.
And I was, and
who
was Jesus. I'm kidding.
Exactly. I'm also 12 years older than Amy.
12?
No way.
You're 36.
You're a baby. Yes, everyone. I'm 36. Did everybody get that? Don't cast me in my 20s anymore. I'm 36.
I'm 48.
I turn, I'll be 44. Right, you want me to make you feel better, Amy? I'm turning 44 in
a
week.
No, you are so not.
Yeah, I am. But you don't look your age either.
Well, you're sweet.
Because we're all little petite people.
Well.
That think we're 18.
I'm screwed.
No. It's a state of mind, Amber. It's just, I'm 18 in my head.
No, and honestly, age-mage. I mean, Amber and I always say this, like, we woke up and we're like, oh, I'm 30. Thank God I don't care about anything anymore.
Yes.
You know, it's just all that anxiety of your 20s kind of falls away. But yeah, I'm from Richardson.
So how did you start getting into theater?
You know, I was sitting here like, oh God, they're going to ask me that question. And what's funny is that I grew up seeing so much theater. Like, my parents took me to a lot of theater, but they're teachers, and they were more like fans of theater. They weren't performers at all. And my brother did a lot of acting in high school, so I grew up watching all him and his buddies put on their high school productions of Waiting for Godot and whatnot, you know? And
In fact, Brentley Hilburn, I don't know if any of y'all know him, but he's a local actor, comedian, and he was part of my brother's whole high school crew. So I grew up watching them, and then when
host
high school
of Stand-Up Empire on PBS.
Yes. So I watched all them, and then when it came closer to high school time, there's this girl at my school, Brianna, and she was going to go do the musical theater auditions. And we had like a sizable theater program at my high school, but it wasn't that good. But I was like, well, I want to do that. And I really wanted to be an actor. I didn't want to do any musicals. But I was like, then I saw Sunday in the Park with George.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, no, I like that musical. That's it. So then I go and I do all these auditions.
You're a cerebral musical gal.
Oh, yes. So I ended up getting into CCM, and I'm with all these like hardcore musical theater people, and they're like, chess, blah, 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 this. And I'm like, oh, I don't play chess. Like, I knew nothing. Like, I knew nothing. And they were like, we had to do boards the first day, and everyone has to sing and do a monologue. And I'm like, well, I'm doing this really obscure song. It's called Everybody Loves Louie. I don't think anyone's ever heard of it. And they're like, okay. But so I went to CCM for a couple of years, and then I did want more acting training. And so then I transferred to Ithaca and graduated from there and then moved to the city.
Oh my God, we have to talk. I am banned from ever driving on, and my parking privileges have been permanently revoked at
Ithaca College.
Oh yeah.
Did you park in the 50-minute parking zone?
No, I was hanging out. I my senior year of high school, I went to school in Syracuse and graduated.
Oh, okay.
And all my friends from the high school performing arts here in Dallas were at Ithaca. And so I was ahead of school a semester. And so I was hanging around before I went to Chicago, and I would just drive and hang out on campus. And I was living in Lyon Hall.
Such a great place.
But I wasn't going to school there.
So you were parking on campus.
Yeah, and I was just parking, and I was living in the dorms, and I was hanging out with all my friends and just attending everything like I went to school there. And and I kept getting notes on the window.
Is that why we're here? Are you doing the same thing? I'm just here.
Yeah, and the best was my mom was in Albany 3 hours away, and one day I came back. It was after like the third time my car had been towed, and I came back, and there was my mother at the top of the hill, and I'm like, the heck is Liz doing on campus in Ithaca? She's 3 hours away. And she calls and is like, they called me. You need to come home. I was like, I'll be right there. I didn't leave for 2 more days. I was awful. And then I called her to tell her I was going to see the dead, and then didn't come home for like another 3. I was a bad child. Probably why I don't have any children, because payback would really stink. But yeah. Permanently revoked at Ithaca.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
They wouldn't give me my diploma until I paid my parking tickets. So I did that.
Well, so they really have like some serious parking people on campus. Beautiful city.
UT, hello. We're in Austin.
Yeah. Well,
last
time
I did John Ailey, I got the boot on my car.
Did you?
Sorry.
They have, well, Cornell and Ithaca are both in there. I mean, that city is just really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
And Simeon's has the host with the most that works there down in the Commons. It's a beautiful place.
Commons.
I know. Yeah. You're making me long. I'm sorry. I'm reminiscing nothing
there.
Theater. You made me think Ithaca and took me down a whole memory lane I had blocked out because I'm so old. Because I forget about that. And I'm well behaved now. So, Rachel.
Oh, whoa. Hey, what's up?
Rachel, you didn't hear about any of my shenanigans. I'm a perfect child.
Yes.
And a perfect adult.
Perfect.
So, I know how old you are.
Yes.
But when did you, what made you go, okay, you liked the Shakespeare when you were younger? Was that the first realm into theater, or was there something else that...
This is kind of a weird story now that I think about it. I was leaving some movie, and I was with my family, and there was this booth that was advertising acting classes in Las Vegas, where I'm from. I'm not from Austin.
Okay. See, I didn't ask, and I should have, because I'm like, I think Rachel's from here. You know what, Rachel? I'm sorry.
It's okay.
No, that's not right of me to do that, really.
We make... mistakes. So I was like, well, I guess I can do that. That's what people are doing in films and for a lot of commercial stuff. But I remember hating all of the commercial stuff, and I remember wanting to do these really serious monologues. Like when I was 10, I think I did a monologue about my mom being an alcoholic, and I obviously couldn't grasp that at the time. I don't even remember, but that kind of, because I didn't like commercial stuff, and I wasn't the stereotypical child to be like cast for, you know, family air conditioning commercials.
For our listeners, she has tons of tattoos.
She's the craziest 15-year-old I've ever seen.
You said you're not the stereotypical child. You're gorgeous and wholesome looking.
I know. She sounds like she...
Yeah, you're not Miley Cyrus, my dear. You are, and I'm a smart one at that.
I think she means her mind.
Her mind.
My mind. My mind is a dark, dark place. Yes. You would never understand.
You're an old soul. That's that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, then I was got really into Shakespeare, and then I got more into theater. And last year it kind of really hit. This is the only thing that I want to do with my life, and that's terrifying. it's scary. But yeah, now I've just been putting every single thing.
So you want to pursue this later on?
Yes. Yes, very, very much so.
Well, hats off. Well, thank you all. Nick, do you have a secret?
Nope.
One thing we don't know about you that you're going to tell us?
Nope.
Come nothing?
On, secrets. Secrets.
What was your favorite performance you've done at the Tonys?
Oh, I got to sing the mangoes and bananas line in South Pacific.
Okay, well, there you go.
So getting to say the words mangoes and bananas.
For the world?
For the world, yeah. And having my mother say, he's the mangoes and bananas guy.
Maybe you saw him.
From Waco, calling all of our debutantes.
I love it.